Everyone, you're welcome to another episode of Work Life Conversations with MBL. I'm so happy to have you here. This is a sister edition because I'm going to be talking to a sister. You know, I'm going to be talking about the winning woman in the workplace. Yes. So the name of my sister is Flo. I call her Flo, but I'm going to allow her to tell us a bit about ourselves. So Flo, you have the floor.
Yeah. Hi everyone. My name is Fumi Adeyemi, and yeah, Nika is my sister. Like, we come from way back before the bone straight wigs and everything. way back. So it's a big honor to be here. I'm so proud of what she's doing with the MBL. Yes, your head can swell now, Nika. I feel it's a very strong brand that has a very strong message, and I feel like you're gonna go places with this, and such a big honor to be here to chit chat, you know, to have a little, we'll not call it fireplace because there's no fire here, not my life. So have a little sister chit chat and all of that. So this will be fun. Yeah.
Okay. So let's
see. So I forgot to introduce myself as to what I do, who I am. Yeah, so I'm first and foremost the daughter of God, and I'm a wife to a very awesome, great man, and mom to an awesome, great, almost 2-year-old. You know, we're clocking on it very soon. And on a regular, I'm a screenwriter. I write for TV, write for film, and also I'm the curator of awaywithwords.co, where we create media content that just archive life memories and create new awesome ones. So there you go.
That's beautiful. Don't worry, we'll look you up.
Yeah. Check us out on Instagram.
No, I'm going to drop your Instagram link in the notes section so people can check you up. All right. So today's talk. So let's start with, what's your idea of the 2021 woman?
The idea I have of a 2021 woman is a woman who is, first of all, a winning woman who just allows herself to evolve and to be. That's it. I strongly feel like the 2021 woman, regardless of what the year called 2020 has decided to say, or, you know, years before then, you know, the 2021 woman right now is a woman who should just allow herself win, allow herself evolve, and just allow herself be. You deserve this. You owe this one life. You owe it to yourself to do that, really. So that's just my brief for whatever it is it means to you. That's what I just believe the 2021 woman should be. Allow yourself win, allow yourself evolve, and just allow yourself be. Yeah.
So talking about evolution, how well do you think Africa, or let's even bring it on to Nigeria, how well do you think the environment here is enabling for the 2021 woman?
Well, we are not where we used to be, thankfully, but we still have a very long way to go. We have a long way to go, really, because I strongly feel like the African continent, for the mere fact that the African continent is called Mama Africa, I feel like just saying that alone sometimes, and then the irony, you know, the direct irony that happens with the women folk in Africa, and you're really, really just wondering, like, how did that even come to be? Like, how did that coinage even come to be, really? Because I feel very strongly like Africa is half, even less than half of the continent it is right now. It's less than half of the continent it should be, because of the way it underutilizes its women. And that's largely due to a lot of factors. And on our plates today is the factor of not being apologetic about being a winning woman, being a winning woman apologetically. That's what's on our table today. I will give us an ice breaking story. 5 years ago, or more like 5-6 years ago, I was following a young man to understudy his work as a speaker, as a motivational speaker. you know, I followed him to study at an orientation camp, NYC orientation camp in Ogun State. And, you know, while we were on the drive to the place and all of that, he just quipped and said, "Oh, babe, by the way, you know, when I'm done, you know, with my talk and everything, I believe that there should be, you know, time for you to have one or two things to say and all of that. And while you're at it, while you begin this, I feel you should just introduce yourself as Mrs. XYZ." At that time, 6 years ago, I was engaged but not married. But of course, at that time, I still had this. I was in my late 20s. I still had this primary school girl figure going and everything. So I figured that was the reason why he said that. But of course, thanks to my good genes, I still had this very, very petite figure and everything that, you know, could pass me off as an elementary school leaver. But looking at in retrospect now, in retrospect now, I looked at it and I was like, those were the monsters we made, like, literally. He was right in his own frame of thinking. He was right because he was saying that, oh, just to put those small girls, just to give them, you know, just to let them know. I was engaged at the time, not married. In fact, he himself that was talking was not married. He was single. But how come he didn't need to think to do that? Do you understand? Long and short of the story, when we got there, because the symposium actually started late, so everything has to be rushed, and I couldn't have that time to say one or two things. I was about to publish my book called Dream Nigeria, and so I wanted to say one or two things about that, about being, you know, a new Nigerian back then. I didn't get the chance to do that because time had been fast spent and all. But thinking about it, I just thought it through, and I realized that literally those were the monsters we made. We made ourselves think that a woman cannot just be successful without that, but oh, she's not married, oh, she doesn't have kids yet. And you now make it look like those are the things that crown the success as and validate it as really, you know, being a success. So I really, really, in retrospect, he was right, because that it is what it was, really. It was what it was. That's just the truth, because a lot of people will just look at you and be like, is she married? Is she respectable? You know, I can accord her the respect she's due if she's married, you know, not that she's just coming here to just say stuff. So what I had to say wasn't valid enough, except I was married, or except I had kids, or except I had to explain that. So I strongly believe that we need to, the African woman needs to be that one who is a winning woman unapologetically, regardless of what phase of evolution you are at right now. Because apart from the fact that the male gender doesn't have to go through all of that, you owe it to yourself. You owe it to yourself to be a winning woman unapologetically. And that's it. Yeah.
I'm glad you said that, because I was in a conversation one day with about three people. One was married and the other person was not. And, you know, they were having a discourse, like a normal discussion about, I can't remember the topic. And the lady went, the married one went on to ask the unmarried one. She was like, "Are you married?" And I was like, "No." And she was like, "Okay, when you get married, come back to me, let's talk." So it wasn't like, because fine, I know that on some matters, yeah, it wasn't something related to marriage or something, but it was just a general discourse. But the fact that she could not bring herself to, you know, listen to the other person just because she felt like the other person was unmarried, I was like, wow. So I get you. And this was about 3 years back. Yeah. So I was like, oh, interesting. So now I would ask, what do you think is the essence of the winning woman at work? What do you think this would bring to us as a country, as a nation, as a continent?
I feel very strongly that if the winning woman can evolve very quickly, slow and steadily, but still evolve, I feel very strongly that, first of all, we would be doing the coming generation a lot of good. A lot of good, because a lot of people, a lot of young and upcoming women, you know, don't even know where to place their success, or will not even know where to place their success if we allow this culture of subtle, in fact, it's not even subtle, it's actually shaming. That's what it is.
Yeah,
it's actually shaming. It's actually my shaming. It's actually baby shaming. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, if we allow this culture of shaming, you know, you look at a lady's picture that just says, oh, you know, I'm so grateful to God. I just finished my med school at 21. And you're looking at her ring finger like, she's not even married yet. You're not complete. That kind of thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or you're looking at the woman who says, oh, I just opened my fourth chain of food business and all of that. And she just says, oh, I want to thank my backbone, my husband, and all of that. And you're like, who are the kids? You know, that subtle thing, like, who are the children? You know, you have not even started on this, your success journey. That subtle mindset of, you know, your success is not complete yet. Your success is not valid yet. There's just this but, there's this if only, you know, those clauses on it. I feel the woman, today's 2021 winning woman owes it to the next generation to break that ceiling. To break that ceiling and say that, you know what, even if I want to be Kamala Harris tomorrow, I do not necessarily, as long as I have what it takes and as long as I have the mind of responsibility to serve, I do not necessarily have to put myself under pressure to go and, you know, hook up with a man or, you know, go and have a child or something. I don't have to bow to that pressure. I can be complete in and of myself and in and of my success because I put in the work. I put in the work just like the male gender will put in the work and they will not be judged about it.
Yeah.
They will not be shamed about it. I put in the work as well. I put in the sleepless nights. I put in the thought process. I put in the meetings as well. And so my success should not be marginalized and put under a different category of success. It's the one and same thing. So my own should not be termed as a second class success or a fairly used success just because, you know, I don't have a ring with it. I feel that we owe it to the generations that are, you know, up and coming, the younger generations. We owe it to break this glass ceiling because you don't know what kind of marital, you know, struggles they might have while they are growing, and the kind of conceptual, you know, struggles they might have when they're growing as well. So we owe it to them to break this glass ceiling as soon as possible, and then we owe it to ourselves. I feel like you deserve your success. You deserve your success. And apart from you, you owe it to the next woman as well. You owe it to the next woman because there's this, you know, you go on Twitter and they say, it's a man thing, you know, and they say, it's a woman thing. There's this way they group, they do a gender grouping. We owe it to ourselves to become that tribe of people, that tribe of the human species that can be successful without having to always justify it with something else. Yeah,
I agree. Like, you basically broke down the process of defining and redefining yourself.
Yes.
Now I feel so many of us actually struggle with this. So I would like you to just put in probably a simple process on how people can learn to redefine themselves. You know, yes, you might be at this point, but the goal of this is to get you to this other point.
Absolutely.
So what are the necessary steps you need to get to redefine yourself to be that winning woman in your workplace?
Right. To be that winning woman without prejudice of self, first of all, because I feel like before people begin to even judge based on what you have or who you're with or who you're not with, I feel like there's also something called prejudice of self based on how much you value yourself. Truth is, you need to do a check or run a scan as to how much you actually value yourself. If you're able to put in a scan to know or you know, run yourself through questionnaires to know how much it is that you really value yourself, a lot of these things, a lot of these pressures and all of that will not be able to bow you out. I think you should really hook up with MBL because she has a couple of ways that you can test to know how much you actually value yourself. Find out how much you value yourself. Let me tell you something. If you do over 100, like, you know, scale of 1 to 100 now, and you do that to know how much you value yourself. If you run at 50, it's still a problem. You need to really, really value yourself. Know how much you value yourself and put tax on it. That's just the truth, because the truth is, nobody else can value you so much more than you value yourself. It starts with you. It starts with you. And it oozes in your confidence. It oozes in the way you talk. It oozes in the way you carry yourself, even the workplace. it speaks for itself. It speaks volumes for itself. So it starts with you as a person. First off, value yourself. Place premium on yourself. Because the moment you begin to place high premium on yourself, pressures from the outside will look like a breeze to you, because you already know what you're worth. A lot of people are going through mental health problems right now, self-esteem problems right now. It's very rampant. Do you understand? Male, female, they're going through a lot of all of those right now, because there's still that need to be validated. You know, there's still that need to, you know, what people are saying about you or what relationships have done to you. There's still, I think, in and of yourself, you deserve the peace that comes with knowing that you value yourself. And I feel like that peace will lead you into great place of greater winning. It will lead you into great places of more productivity, more productive with your life. So you won't bow into the pressure of getting into a wrong marriage, making, you know, a cycle of wrong decisions and all of those. So I feel it starts with knowing how much you value yourself, increasing that and putting tax on it. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. So I love that that speaks to the work we have to do on ourselves.
Yes.
So now, looking at others, how can we celebrate more female heroes in the workplace?
I feel strongly that this culture of women celebrating women, it cannot be overemphasized. I feel apart from people that say, oh yeah, feminism is the way to, you know, achieving this, I feel strongly that the more the next woman celebrates the next woman, we'll be able to all see that this thing can actually become a culture, not just a cliche. It can actually become a culture. I feel strongly that in the workplace, the more we begin to champion sharing on, you know, the successful woman and not seeing it as, you know, a time to hate or whatever, I feel it will also create opportunities for even we ourselves. One thing women need to understand is the more you cheer on a woman, you're actually creating space out there for yourself. You're actually creating opportunities for yourself, because this is a copy of you out there. This is a copy of yourself out there. If you are, you know, the one to bring the woman down, or you're the one to, you know, bring the woman down based on the fact that she's not married or whatever kind of phase she's at right now, she might be a caterpillar whose legs are... Regardless of however it is that you portray the woman next to you, she's a copy of yourself. And I feel very strongly that the more you give her thumbs up, the more you encourage her, you're actually encouraging yourself, because you're making it a culture. You're making it a culture of, yeah, this person is just like me, and I'm celebrating her just like I'll celebrate myself. So I feel that we are not doing this enough. We are doing it by lips or by DP or by hashtags. But in reality, we're not doing it enough. In reality, in the workplace, we're not doing it enough. A lot of people would say, oh, you know, why should a woman be the boss in the office if she's single? A lot of people will say, oh, you know, because she's single, she's not married, therefore she will not be respectful, or she doesn't have kids, therefore she will not be responsible. Please, I want to ask a question. Being married and having kids, do they come with like an installation package where when you're married or when you have kids, you automatically have like this small, you know, rewrite of your memory or rewrite of your character that, oh, now you know how to be responsible, or now you know how to be respectful? These habits are learned. Everybody can learn it. Single, divorced, married, whoever can learn how to be responsible and be respectful. So I feel very strongly that when people are saying that, oh, you know, because she's single and you are married in the same office, and they're saying, ah, she's single, she cannot lead us, and you too, you are saying it, you are joining them to say, my dear sister, will your child, your female child or your sister, will they all be born married? They will start single. And do you want them to be marginalized that way? You sure don't want to be. So whatever phase you are, I feel we are all butterflies. but all butterflies in our jeans. By jeans, you can see a caterpillar on the leaf today, and you won't know that that's a butterfly, but it knows that it is a butterfly. By genes, in our genetic makeup, we are all butterflies. But guess what? Some of us look like caterpillars. Guess what? Some of us look like we're all wrapped in a cocoon. We are larvas. But genetically, we are all butterflies. And I feel very strongly that the earlier, the better. We are all, you know, we all give ourselves a wing to fly. The earlier, the better it works. And the earlier, the better this works for every one of us.
And this message is not just for the females.
No.
Podcast, because I because I feel strongly that the males, the men we have a role to play in this too as well.
A very solid
like
one.
Men in the workplace and all of that. I'll give you an incident. I once went out with like two of my senior colleagues. They were both guys. I sat down at the back where they call the owner's corner. So we decided to get water at some place. So of course one of them got down. I sat where I was. One of them got down and went to buy water. And when he got there, two men were sitting and they were just talking. So they were saying it in Igbo. They didn't know that the one that got down was actually an Igbo guy. They didn't know they could understand what they were saying. So they were like, who is this girl? What's she doing there? How can she be the boss of these two guys? What has she earned? What has she done? What is she doing? Even if she's higher than them, why would she be their ogre? So and they were saying it so much. Of course, I didn't know that was what they were saying. When he came back, he was like, would you believe that those guys were actually talking? They were men. Would you believe that those men are actually talking about you? I was like, okay, what did they say? He told me. So he wanted to stay, you know, to the end of the conversation, but so like it didn't seem rude, like he was dropping on them and all of that. So I was like, wow. Like, wow. So you can imagine, I don't know them from Adam. They don't know me. In fact, they didn't know where I was from or what I was doing. They just imagined and they felt like, just because I'm a lady, I'm not worthy.
Like we're out of place.
But yes. So I feel like
we can do better.
Men too,
they can do better.
Yes, they have a role to play in this. They have a role to stand up for. Of course, females who have put in the work, females who are deserving of the job, females who are deserving of the recognition and all of that. And I'm proud to say I actually know quite a few men that do that already.
Absolutely.
But I just believe that this podcast is going global. So
yeah.
If you know you've not started, please get on the chair.
Get an ID card and join the Association of Men who support women here 2021.
Exactly.
We have an headquarters meeting coming up and there is a boss that will push you. So I really feel like I feel like guys as well. I feel like it's possible that they themselves are being, you know, judged based on, you know, different kinds of things as well in their own corner. Like, for example, they can say that a different story. They can say that, oh, does he drive a car? Even if he drives a car, what kind of car does he drive? So that thing trust me. But I just strongly feel like everybody just be kind and be good to the next person. You totally don't know what you're doing. You don't know how much you are helping your own daughter just because you are being good to this single person. You don't know how much you are changing the narrative and changing the culture and creating opportunities for your own generation. Don't be so scared to stand up. You are creating generational spaces for your own kids. You are creating chances up there for your own kids as well. After all, those are the prayers you pray for them, yeah? So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree. So, on a final note, I would just like to add this. The family orientation thing. So I believe everything comes with a balance. Like whatever decision you need to make, you need to be discerning you need to find peace. So my question was, how are you able to find peace on how to sustain your family orientation?
So while being a winning woman in the workplace and then still trying to find, you know, the balance between winning in the office and winning at home, basically. Yeah, so I feel like it's still the same me. And I feel like if I don't, like I said earlier, I feel like if I don't value myself, I can't be effective and I can't win on both sides if I don't value myself in.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. I can't win on both sides, on both ends, if I don't value myself enough, or if I don't live in the reality that I actually matter and my peace matters and the strength of the way I perceive myself actually matters. So personally for me, what I do is I always start my affirmations. Yes, people's love languages or, you know, encouragers, really, words of affirmations, but I always start them with myself. Yes, I'm a very, very faith-based person. So I always start my day with affirmations from the Word of God. I always, and that just gives me hope, because I feel very strongly that once I begin to lose focus on how much I value myself, I begin to lose hope. And I feel like that's where, you know, depressive thinking and pressured thinking, uh-huh. thinking that's born out of so much pressures, you know, and thinking that's born out of so much bothers and all of that. What are people saying about me? What are people saying about my progress? Yeah. What are people? I feel like we just need to unburden all of those things based on how much it is that we value ourselves and how much it is that we take in by words of affirmation, by words of faith and all of those things. So personally, that's what I do. I don't joke with my words of affirmation. I don't joke with my words of faith, because apart from, you know, whatever people say about you or whatever people perceive about you, I feel like you're your number one cheerleader. I feel like you're your one cheerleader. Yeah. If you do not put in the chair, nobody's going to bring pom-poms to your party. And that's the truth.
Yeah. I need to write that down.
If you don't bring on the chair, nobody's gonna bring pom-poms to your party. That's the truth. And then the truth is, nobody brings confetti to a place where it's gloomy. Nobody's gonna come. So yeah. I feel very strong that it starts with us being our number one cheerleaders. And this just gives our lives a lot of color, because once you begin to live in black and white and in gloom, I don't have a thing against black and white, in case you are a monochromatic person, I'm so sorry. if you just live in a state of gloom and, oh, what are people saying about me, and you're all, you need to inject yourself with words of, number one, that affirm your successes right now, and words that project you into your future successes. You need to keep on and continue, and because this will also influence your vision about yourself, your perception about yourself, even the dreams you have about yourself. It will seriously influence it. So it all starts with you. It all begins with you. Like I said earlier, depends on how much you invest into yourself. My darling, take spa dates by yourself.
Exactly.
Take spa dates by yourself. Do candlelight, thought nights by yourself, and just think through about how far you've come and where you can go. Even if you think about when you were like 10 years old, and now that you're in your 20s, 30s, and you think about how much, you know, you were thinking, oh, is this kind of life possible, or is this actually possible? And see how far you've come, and then now see how far you can go with the kind of knowledge you have now. So I feel strongly that we can't invest in ourselves enough. That's just the truth. Before I go on, we can't invest.
Yeah,
we cannot. You need to keep on investing in yourself, and this will show. This shows up in the way I treat family. Shows up in the way I treat my work. Shows up in the way, in the passion I give into my work and all of that. So it starts with you. Garbage in, garbage out. Treasure in, treasure out. So, yeah.
Thank you so much. I mean, I feel one needs to listen to this podcast so that you can soak in all the nuggets and, you know, allow yourself to grow and give yourself a chance to be a better person.
Exactly.
So we've come to the end of this episode. Thank you so much, sister. So I'm going to be dropping Instagram link button session in case you need to copy up. It's still free. Mm-hmm. And on this note, it was nice having you stay till the end. Yeah. Until the next episode, please, you know, goodbye.
Peace and love.
Bye.
Bye.